Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Next to the air we breathe, water is one of the main elements of God's creation. The body can survive maybe 30, 40 days without food, but only about 3 days without water. Without fresh water, your body will simply not survive. Now, water comes in all shapes and sizes depending on its use and temperature. When water is frozen, it's solid. We put ice in beverages, and snow falls during the winter, not so much here as it does in the northern states. And when water is above freezing, it's a liquid. We drink it, we shower with it, we bathe in it, we wash our clothes and our dishes in it. And finally, when water is heated, it becomes a gas, what we know as steam. Water is everywhere in our lives. Water is also powerful and destructive. At creation, God separated the waters above from the waters below to make land. This is in the days before he made Adam and Eve. Then God told Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and 7 that he would flood the entire earth until the highest mountain was 20 feet below the surface of that water. God destroyed all because of the wickedness of man, but he made a promise that he would save Noah and his family. In the Exodus, Moses and all the people of Israel crossed the Red Sea with unmoistened foot, as one of our Easter hymns so uniquely puts it. But then God delivered a deadly blow to the unbelieving Pharaoh, and the walls of the Red Sea literally slammed shut, crushing and drowning the entire Egyptian army. Water circulates often in the scriptures in large and small ways. Sometimes there's flooding, but then there's also washing and watering and healing and refreshing and cleansing and reshaping. Under Joshua, God led Israel into the promised land when he parted the Jordan River. Then in the days of the kings, Elisha healed Naaman, a Syrian army commander, from leprosy by asking him to dip and wash in the Jordan River 7 times. When Israel was thirsty, Moses sweetened the bitter waters of Marah and made water flow from a hard rock. God always refreshes his people, as the psalmist prays, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. From Psalm chapter 42. Isaiah even invited God's people to be refreshed. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. From Isaiah chapter 55. In the New Testament, Jesus, our Savior and Helper, launched his ministry in the waters of the Jordan River at his baptism by John the Baptist. Just as Israel had crossed it long ago under the hand of their Helper and Savior, Joshua, when they entered the Promised Land, so too Jesus enters the Jordan to baptize you and give you the Promised Land of heaven. And even though Naaman, the Gentile leader, hesitated at Elisha's word for healing, he eventually dipped himself into that same cleansing Jordan River 7 times. He saw his leprosy disappear. People loved by God, Jesus still washes all of our sins away today in the waters of our baptism. And Jesus gives us the promised land of heaven. Although Jesus had no sin, he immersed himself in sin to fulfill in human flesh all that Israel and we never could. It's no accident that water is splashed everywhere in Jesus' ministry. In his first miracle, Jesus turns water into wine to refresh wedding guests. From John chapter 2. Then Jesus lovingly encourages Nicodemus to be born of water and the Spirit. From John chapter 3. To our utter astonishment, Jesus offers living water to the Samaritan woman at the well. From John chapter 4. When Jesus sees the lame, he heals the paralyzed man who had been waiting 38 years at the pool of Bethesda. From John chapter 5. Jesus, remembering how God had given the Israelites water in the wilderness, says to the crowd at the Feast of Tabernacles, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." From John chapter 7. Jesus walks on water in Matthew chapter 14 and washes the disciples' feet in John chapter 12. And finally, Jesus allows blood and water to flow from his pierced side as he hangs from the cross. From John chapter 19. Is all this mention of water simply just a coincidence? Absolutely not. It is reasonable and it is done with purpose. Water is woven throughout the Bible, pointing you and me to Jesus, even though not every passage is directly related to baptism. As St. Paul so wonderfully says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "Our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Even St. Peter states that just as God saved Noah and his family by water, so your baptism now saves you. 1 Peter chapter 3. Dear friends in Christ, our Heavenly Father reshapes and rewashes us every day with baptism water, just like a piece of moistened clay. He is conforming us and shaping us into the image of His Son. Before the Scriptures were ever fully recorded for all of God's people to see and to read, the early church fathers used physical water to teach the Bible, to teach baptism, to teach faith in Christ. You were invited today as you pass the baptismal font to dip your hand, your fingers in the water. Place the sign of the cross on your forehead or on your heart to remind you again that this water always refreshes, always washes, always forgives. This is where you were once born and where you are joyfully reborn every day. Jesus is the vine who grafted you into himself and in this church through the water. In him you live, you move, you have your very being. Just as in our mother's wombs, we were so beautifully protected by water. When God knitted us together, the Holy Spirit protects us in the womb of our new mother, the Holy Christian Church. If you were to ask a potter how he makes a beautiful pottery vase, he would tell you that it's the water that makes the clay moldable before it's ever fired in the oven. Similarly, your potter, the Heavenly Father, works in you by the Holy Spirit through the waters of your baptism each day to reshape you, your life, into the image of his Holy Son, Jesus Christ. Your old Adam is drowned so that your new Adam, your new life, is reshaped. This is why Luther said the old Adam in us should be by daily contrition and repentance drowned, and die with all sins and evil desires, so that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. From the Small Catechism, Baptism, the fourth part. Just as the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters at creation to bring life, he so fills you with new life in Jesus now and every day. This is what Lent is all about, drowning the old you in you so that a new, joyful you can arise. During Lent, the church is solemn and full of purple, reminding us of Christ's passion, his death, and the tomb. But we don't stay there. We will arise new from our tomb this Easter. So what needs to be drowned in you today? Does it affect your marriage, your family, your relationships? Are you moldable clay, softened by water, softened by the water of your baptism? Or are you like hard pottery, needing to be crushed? Jesus Christ was crucified with all of it. Your sin was nailed to his cross. His blood was shed for you, and he was buried with all of your sins. Jesus Christ, your vine, your rock, your shepherd, died so that you live in sin no longer. Go now, washed anew today, forgiven of all of your sins. Fix your eyes on Jesus and be refreshed by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen.